All right, let's repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, for another day to live for you. This is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Great is your mercy toward me. Great is your love towards me, which are new every morning. I claim right now perfect protection, perfect provision, and perfect peace as found in Psalm 91. I receive everything, Lord, that you have for me in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Do you all believe that today? Amen. Okay, amen. Amen. At home, do you believe it today? Go with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we are in part 3 of our series of Infuse Joy. Infuse Joy. And I believe that in this time, more than ever before, it is important for us to operate in the joy of the Lord. As we saw in the very first week, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we saw in Hebrews that the word joy, it means that it's what regulates our mind, that there are things that hit your life, there are things that hit your family, and things that you come across on a day-to-day basis that kind of cause your mind to tilt. It causes your mind to begin to think different than what you're supposed to be thinking on, and that's why we need joy. On last week, we saw that joy is not only a feeling, but joy is also a spiritual fruit, which means that whether we feel like it or not, we are to operate and live in joy. Someone say, I have joy. All right, and we're going to keep building that faith. Say, I'm a joyful person. I'm a joyful person. Yes, yes, you are a joyful person. And this series comes from someone who is qualified to speak to us about how to have joy in the non-ideal moments and situations of our life. We're looking at Philippians, which is being written by Paul, who is locked up in jail. And in this jail, that's a makeshift a prison that's at the bottom of their sewer system in the palace. He is not in the ideal place, but he is encouraging believers toward the end of his life to not lose heart and to not lose faith and to not lose the joy that they have that comes from living the life that's in Christ. And one thing that we see and one thing that we know is that when we go wherever God sends us, whether it's our job or whether it's in conversations or whether it's in what we post and just how we interact, our world is looking for hope and our world is looking for joy. And honestly, that is our primary responsibility. So as we're getting back conditioned in the things of God, I want to first start us in this one principle, which is this principle of joy. But with joy, there are real elements that arise that seem to hinder our abilities to walk in this fruit, this spiritual fruit. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, Philippians chapter 3, amen. And it starts off by saying, this is Paul talking to us. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. Isn't that good to know that the Apostle Paul, who some, you know, really consider his work one of the foremost outside of Jesus Christ as it relates to biblical scholarship, he's saying that I'm not perfect. Something to think about. He says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ firsthand possessed me. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. And let's hone in on this one thing. He says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Verse 15. Let all who are spiritually mature. So this is the test of spiritual maturity. He says, let us all agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. And here's verse 16, what we'll look at today. It said, we must hold on to the progress that we've already made. So Paul is talking to us that when you get discouraged and when you feel down, your mindset should be that I want to hold on to the progress that I've already made. And quite honestly, we are our own toughest critics. We believe that we haven't accomplished enough. We haven't done enough. There's so much more to do. And we look at our lives at times and think that we're failing or think that we're lagging behind what God is calling us to do. But all of those enemies of our past are trying to stop us from embracing the true calling that God has for us. And sometimes it's hard to let go of the past. Whether it's past success, whether it's past failures. Here recently, my wife asked me to take on a project that I've been putting off for about 6 years. Yes, no judgment. Yes, I've been putting off projects. Fellas, let's make some eye contact if you have some of them projects that you are deflecting as well. So there was a project that I was deflecting for 6 years, which was to declutter our master bedroom closet. Uh-oh, I hit a special note right there. And it started because we had an opportunity to visit some dear mentors of ours, and we had an opportunity to see that this very successful couple lives with a very small amount of material possessions. And so I said, well, if they're one of the most successful people that I know and their home is just immaculate, well, the least we could do is just start with our own master bedroom closet. And, you know, I thought that I was up for the job. I thought I was up for the task until it came time to throw away my stuff. I'm all for her throwing away her shoes, her shirts, her pants, her purses she hasn't picked up, all of her. But when it came time to my high school varsity jacket, I said, now hold, now you wait a minute. When it came time to that high school Ralph Lauren polo that I wore, although I might be 100 pounds heavier than I was when I purchased that polo, I said, hold on. When it came time to clothes that I remember when I was in college, and y'all know those college budgets, those are premium, but when you had work study and you had some extra cash and you were able to go to the mall and get an item for yourself, I remember when I didn't have any money, but I had enough to get that one shirt that's a button-up that doesn't have any more buttons, but it has memories associated with it. And so that was 6 years she asked me to do this project. It's over 10 years that we've been living together, but I found it hard to give away or to clear out the past. The male quartet, Boys to Men, once said, I thought we get to thee forever. Sing it with me. But forever's gone away. Because
it's so hard to say goodbye.
The title of today's message is, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday. So Paul said, for those who are spiritually mature, that it's important for us to maintain the progress that we've made. But earlier, he talked about, there's one thing that I've mastered in this life, that I've learned how to forget the past, and I've learned how to press forward. But I've got to set a foundation for us, and I'll start it today, and I'll finish it with the series on next week. We've got to deal with, why is it so hard to say goodbye to yesterday? I'll give you the answer. Familiarity. The fear of moving beyond what's comfortable. Go back with me to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 3. And so what Paul is describing for you is the reason and the comparison and contrast to the life that we're asked to live for God and the life we naturally live with others. One thing you'll notice whenever you're going to like network settings or you're meeting a group of people for the very first time, especially if you don't know them, and you know, everybody deep down inside has a little pride that wants to let you know that I'm worth a paperweight. I'm worth my own salt. So when people say, the first question that people ask is not, so tell me, what type of person are you? What makes you happy? No, that's not the first question most people ask. The first thing people ask is, so what do you do for a living? And we want to do a humble brag. Well, you know, I really haven't done a lot. I've just written, you know, a few volumes of encyclopedias. I've graduated top of my class. To God be the glory. And we lead with our resume. And so Paul is showing us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, as we'll start reading, that if there was anyone at that time that could lead with a resume, it was him. But in order to have joy and maintain joy and infuse joy, we have to leave our resumes behind. And one thing about the resume that you send people and the resume that actually exists with your job history, like, so tell me, how did you have 3 jobs in the last 6 months? Tell me more about that. Well, you know, I just feel like I need to be able to speak my mind. I need free. No, you got fired. You know, you got. But we're not going to put that on our resume. We're only going to put the highlights. Sometimes when we look back at our past, we think about the good, but we often omit the bad that was pushing us forward. That happens in relationships a lot, especially when breakups have taken place or you've separated from a job. You remember when you were at that job saying, Lord, if I could just get off of this job here, like, Lord, you got to just do something. I promise, Lord, if you do, I'll serve you no matter what. And when it actually happens, like, oh, dang, they let me go from the job. I don't. On Facebook. Well, I want y'all to pray with me as I transition into this next season of my life. I know God got me. And we don't think about everything that went into why we were where we were. And it says in verse 3, Philippians chapter 3, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Somebody needs to underline that. Put no confidence in your own abilities. And he goes on in verse 4, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have it all the more. Arrogant much? Verse 5, he says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. So I'm doing all of the spiritual things from birth. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to Jewish law. I did everything right. Lord, how in the world am I going through this? I tithe, I served, I obeyed you, I followed you. I've been in the way this whole time, and this is the life that I have as a result. I know no one's ever said that. He said, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law. I obeyed every rule without fault. He said, if anybody could brag in their own accomplishments, you might have a wall filled with accomplishments. You might have people who sing your praises from here to Timbuktu. He says in verse 7, he said, I once thought these things were valuable. So at the end of this chapter, we're seeing him say, those who are spiritually mature, there's something I want you to understand. So what he's admitting in verses 3 through 6, anyone who leads with that type of resume as to why they should be blessed lacks maturity. It's one thing that to understand that the grace of God, it empowers us to accomplish the impossible. The grace of God does not entitle us to accomplish the impossible. That's different. Empowerment means with God's strength, with me cooperating with him, I can accomplish what others say is impossible. Entitlement says, God, if you don't do what I'm thinking of in my head, you failed me, and I don't know if I can believe this faith thing. It's a difference. He said, when I was immature, that's how I thought, because I once thought, verse 7, these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. That's interesting. Let's look here in verse 7. He said, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. The word worthless there means a loss of excess cargo. And so he was going back to a time in his life where he was on a boat in Acts 27 heading to Malta. And as he was heading to Malta, a storm came and disrupted their entire journey. And they were in fear for their life that they weren't going to make it. And the word that he received was, throw off all of the excess cargo. Throw off all of the excess weight. You're going to lose the cargo. You're going to lose the ship. But you are going to survive. He's drawing on that experience to say, every accomplishment, every opportunity I thought I lost was that excess cargo. The real reality is the life that God wants me to live right now. So all of the things, the good that we've accomplished, because I'm looking around in this room and I see so much accomplishment that is taking place. All of the good you've accomplished, God calls that excess cargo for what he's called you to do. But here's the reality. We all have not done everything right. Oh, and we don't want to have that conversation. Listen, I have been pastoring for 3.5 years. The time has flown by. Let me just be real honest. I have not made every right decision. I could have handled things better. I could have been more forthright. I could have been more clear. I could have been more direct with my expectations. It ain't always the other person. In your relationships, your friendships, everybody is not hating on you. Everybody. There's a phrase that Matt's dad says a lot. Everybody don't tell the same lie. If there's a common denominator in each of the instances, we have to be big enough to say, you know, I had a part to play in that as well. Even if it was, Kim said, a very small. And so that's the sign of maturity. Let's go to verse 8. As we're now building upon that worthless cargo, he said, yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage or dung, so that I could gain Christ. He says, I've discarded, I've lost everything else and counted it as garbage or dung. Go back to what I said about his environment. He's riding inside of the sewage system of this palace, and he's looking around to see the most descript object that he could give to say of how about all of my accomplishments at the end of my life apart from Christ. And he says, dung. Poop. Y'all fill in the other word. When it comes to making myself better. So when it comes to our past, I want you all to write this down. I want you to think lessons, not losses. Lessons, not losses. Yeah, you may have made some mistakes. Lessons, not losses. Yeah, you may have been, you know, especially when you're transitioning to a new job, a new career, you've accomplished a lot on that previous job, previous career. Lessons, not losses. He says what he's lost, he's gained. Because anytime we hold on to the past, we must realize that past accomplishments are liabilities to future opportunities. Past accomplishments are liabilities to our future opportunities. But he says something so profound here. Let's drop down to verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. He understood that in order for me to have greater progress in my life, I need greater clarity in my life. Sometimes because we're gifted at a host of things, we try to do them all. But the reality is, first start with just the one thing, the most important thing, and build out from that. What you'll discover is places like Walmart, although they offer a host of different services and a host of different items, you expect them to be average. No one walks in Walmart and says, I'm about to have the most amazing experience of my life. Okay, maybe one. There's always one. No, you know that if you got to go to Walmart, it's because I'm trying to save some money. I know they're going to have what I need, and I'm already going to deal with whatever I have to deal with. You already tell yourself that, but they pride themselves on having everything. Whereas restaurants such as Five Guys focus solely on the hamburger and fries. And for y'all people that don't like that, the hot dog. And they became one of the fastest growing fast food restaurant chains. In your life, if you want to regain your joy, you've got to come back to what is essential. Your joy is being zapped because you're trying to be everything to everyone. And you were only created to be able to do what you were called to do. That's it. So if I want greater progress, I need to get greater clarity. Well, Paul gives us the recipe as we close today. He says, I want to know Christ first. The first and greatest assignment for any person is to have a real, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And I really believe in my heart around October, I'm going to kind of delve more so into this to kind of give us an anchor in this truth, in this principle, that the greatest identity that you could have, the greatest calling, the greatest thing anyone can ever say about you is that person, that man, that woman, that teen, they were a person of character and they were a person of faith. So that I may know Christ, not from a head knowledge perspective, but I want to experience Christ. And what he's talking about is the anointed one and his anointing that I really can't describe what happens when you are, and you may have been there, where you are completely on your own. And you feel like you are just floating into this abyss. And all of a sudden, there's this love that enters your heart that you can't explain because you know that you don't deserve it. I remember not living for God like I knew I should have been living for God. And I knew what I should have been doing. I knew I should have been praying. I knew I should have been reading my word, but I just couldn't. I was stressed. I was frustrated. Things weren't going my way. I wasn't where I thought I'd be. I'll never forget realizing that, but there's a greater call than just me getting what I believe I'm called to get in my life. Every major calamity, every major tragedy, every major crisis that I've experienced, I've also realized the way that I've gotten out of it was through serving someone else. Some of you may know in high school, when I was in high school, our family was homeless. And one thing that I did on Saturdays was I went down to the homeless outreach to pack food for those who are homeless. And I couldn't describe the joy that came from taking my mind off of what wasn't going right in our life, regardless as to whose fault it was or wasn't, and thinking about the joy that someone else had by us just doing something basic like packing the basic necessity. That you may know Christ, his anointing. My prayer for our church is that, yes, I know that everything may not be where you want it to be in your life, but I pray that you have enough of a personal relationship with God so that he could fill you and show you that your plan for your life is bigger than just you. We all go through things to help others get through things. And what you have to realize is that the certain things, the frustrations that you experience, it's going to be for the person who right now may reach out to you and say, I don't know how I'm going to make it out myself. And you can readily think back to, well, I know what God has done in my life. This week, I had a pastor from Illinois call, and he said, Doc, I need some help. He said, man, I see you, man. What's the secret? I'm like, secret? I just rub a rabbit's foot, and I do some chants. There's no, it's no secret. It's the grace of God. And he got real honest. He said, Vince, I feel like it's dark. I feel like I don't have a vision. I feel like everything that I thought of is not working the way in which I did. I'm in the middle of a pandemic. I can't do anything. I just want to give it all up. And in that moment, there was something that activated. It's the anointing that I may know Christ. I know that anointing. That activated because guess what? I felt like that pastor. I know what it's like to feel like you're not progressing like you should. And I began to speak to him and encourage him so that he could do as we read at the beginning of this, that you don't lose the progress you've made this far. That anointing is what helps you to do that, to know Christ. Number two, how do I get greater progress through greater clarity that I might experience the mighty power of God? You should begin to expect that when you believe what God is calling you to believe, that things change. Now, what you can't change is the time frame it takes for it to change. And that's where you need joy, as we talked about on last week. And then the final thing, he says, and I want to suffer with Christ, sharing in his death. So in order to get greater progress or have greater clarity, number one, we need to know Christ and his anointing. We need, number two, experience his mighty power. But number three, we need to embrace Christ-like suffering. And next week, I'll even delve even further into this. But to leave you with this one note, oh boy, I want to embrace Christ-like suffering. It's tough because we've had to embrace American-like convenience. When it comes to doing spiritual guidance for couples and being able to sit down with others, there is no shortcut. I'm sorry. There is no magic potion to fix your relationship. I'm sorry. It's not. I cannot say abracadabra, y'all love each other, we'll see you later. I wish, because I would sell it and I would be online flexing hard with it and make lots of money. But there is no shortcut. You got to do some work. You got to look at you in the mirror and say, I'm trash. I'm trash. I am. Oh, y'all. You got to look at you and say, I got work. I got it. I, me. I'm in this. So now let's work on it. But when you work on it for a weekend, and then on Monday, y'all have a little spat, it don't mean it doesn't work. It just means you gotta put your flesh down long enough, which is what Christian suffering is, to stay patient until you see something change. You have to embrace, Brene Brown says this, you need to embrace the suck. It's terrible, embrace it. It's tough, embrace it. It's hard, embrace it. It's uncomfortable, embrace it. And when you do, you're able to put down the areas of your flesh that you have been letting be rebellious. There is a thin line between innovation and rebellion. And that thin line is your ability to, at some point, submit yourself to some instructions that are uncomfortable for you to listen to. He says, you want greater progress? You want greater clarity? Put down your desires and say, God, what do you want in my life? Amen. Let's put a pause right there. Amen. Amen. And if we could just have a moment of prayer just to the Lord, where we're opening our hearts. For those who are online, there's a lot that I have discussed. There's a lot that I have said on today as we're just kind of introducing this topic as we close out our Infused Joy series on it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. But I want to invite you to do as Paul said, to get greater progress and have greater clarity by coming into an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And what that simply means is how you are is enough. You don't have to change for God to accept you, but what you'll realize is when you accept the love that he has for you, your love for him is gonna cause you to transform and cause you to change. So many things that we can say, I wish I would do this better, I wish I would do that better. But right now, in this moment, I believe the Lord has been asking host of us, there are some things that you need to let go so that you can recapture your joy. There's some offense, there's some bitterness, there's some pain, there's some what ifs, there's some hesitancy of trusting God and what's next. So we're holding on to what was, and I believe today God wants us to get to know him even greater, to experience his mighty power, and experience that the clarity that comes when we embrace Christ-like suffering. So if you're under the sound of my voice at this moment and at this time, whether here in person or you're online, and you just have a lot going on and you would desire for me to pray with and for you today. Right here locally, every head bowed and every eye is closed. So this, I like this being a personal time. But if you're online and you say, hey, I need prayer, I want you to text this number, 770-667-4899. Again, it's 770-667-4899. And I want you to text this number and just simply say, I need prayer. If you're here in person and you would like me to pray with you and for you, whether you're inside or you're on the patio and you say, hey, look, I need prayer, just quickly lift your hand up real quick so I know who to pray for. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you all. God bless you. You can put those hands down. As a church family, whether we're online or in person, let's surround our brothers and sisters. This is the definition of true community. And let's surround them with our faith and our prayer just so that their lives can be unlocked and experience the anointing and the power of God in their life. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person I pray for every single hand that was raised, every single text message that's coming in right now. I thank you, Lord, that you're with them. You're for them. That though it may be hard at times to let go of what was done in the past, I pray that they're reminded, Lord, that there's progress that they've already made. The fact that they're acknowledging that, God, there's some things that I just need you to do, that's progressed. And so as they focus on you, surround them with wisdom. Surround them with understanding. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name.